The next bear market will shock everyone, and it will be so severe because everybody is expecting 4-year cycle to stop. And Bitcoin is usually always penalizing like this type of thinking.
But I think if you're in real estate, times will get very tough. I think there's a possibility that the housing market won't reach the levels it reached between 2019 and 2021 for at least the next 5 to 10 years.
You know, I think we'll have a very severe bear market, and I think people will be shocked by how many Bitcoin treasury companies will trade at maybe 0.3 to 0.5 MNAV.
Wow, okay, why do you think that?
Look.
What's up, guys? 70,000 of you guys keep coming back every single month, but 71% are not subscribed. So you're going to miss out on some of the great green candle content. So make sure that you're hitting that subscribe button with the bell notification so you get notified every time I drop a video. All right, now let's get back into this great interview. Bing bong. I am back with another edition of the State of Bitcoin podcast where I've got the man, the myth, the legend, Leon Wonkim. Did I say that correctly? My bad, dude. I've got him in the house who's has a great thesis about everything with real estate and Bitcoin. But I think that this is a super timely conversation because we're just starting to have real estate come down a little bit in the United States after having it shoot up like crazy during the Cerveza sickness when the whole world shut down. So Leon, I'm curious right now, what do you see in the housing market and how do you see all this playing out?
Yeah, so 3 years ago when I started to share my thesis on Bitcoin demonetizing real estate, I was a bit worried of the thesis actually playing out because I am still active in real estate development. But the way I look at it now is since we adopted Bitcoin in our business, I'm a bit more relaxed and I see the thesis playing out in our favor. Because once you integrate Bitcoin into an existing business structure, you're actually benefiting from this switch or this paradigm shift. But I think if you're in real estate, times will get very tough. Because if you really think about what land is and what real estate is, it's an inflation hedge. And as interest rates go down, prices shoot up, right? Because there's more demand, there's more liquidity. And during COVID, we really saw how there were interest rates of, you know, it depends. In Europe, you even had countries like Sweden with negative interest rates. So people were really forced to invest into property. And in the US, you had interest rates between 0.5 up to 2%. So there was almost free money. So people really went hard and invested a lot of capital in real estate. And that capital is now leaving the asset class. And if you ask me, I don't think it's coming back. Yes, if interest rates go down, there's more demand, more liquidity, but the difference is that now we have an alternative, which is Bitcoin, and it's a superior store of value. It's easier to access. And also, now that we have credit, Bitcoin and credit-based instruments that allow institutional investors and high net worth individuals to gain regulated exposure to Bitcoin's price with less upside, but also with less volatility, I think the demand for real estate in terms of receiving cash flow will also go down because you can now buy an instrument that Strategy provides or some of the other treasury companies going forward. And I think that is also a factor that will play into less demand for real estate because people that want cash flow, they can now buy Bitcoin adjacent preferred instruments.
Yeah, and that's very interesting that you're putting it out like that. But so basically, do you think that not only is it Bitcoin, but also kind of the shift into the fixed income market and, you know, Bitcoin's essentially taking over the global bond market as well. So are all of these markets essentially converging on Bitcoin right now? And that is what's also contributing to demonetizing real estate?
Yes, 100%. That's what I believe, and that's what I can see as well. Judging from the conversations I had, so I'm still active in real estate development. We are still developing real estate. And most of the partners that I talk with, they do understand, of course, that Bitcoin has certain monetary properties, especially the absolute scarcity, that is superior to real estate. But they still think within the paradigms of the fiat system. And the goal of most investors within the fiat paradigm is to outperform inflation, either by achieving a higher return or by somehow receiving cash flow, right? And now these instruments, especially Strike, which is a convertible preferred instrument that Strategy has introduced, has gained traction amongst the peers that I work with within the real estate world. And I know some people who were very reluctant to put in large amounts into Bitcoin, but they feel comfortable putting large amounts into either straight up MSTR, the stock per se, or the preferred instruments, because it talks to their language. It's the way that they think about investing, right? Because if they want to invest, what do they actually want to do? They want to outperform inflation. So outperforming inflation with an instrument that they know and that they are used to is something that they feel more comfortable with than buying Bitcoin. But I think over time, as more people understand that there's products that are based on Bitcoin, people also navigate or tend to holding Bitcoin in self-custody because the upside is higher. But it takes time for people to get adjusted to Bitcoin. And if we look into the early years of Bitcoin, we had cypherpunks, we had libertarians, we had different use cases, donations, circumventing governments and different controls. But I think now the new wave of investors that are coming in are sophisticated, high net worth individuals that so far had no trust in Bitcoin because the market cap, quite frankly, was too low. And now they're looking to gain exposure to Bitcoin in ways that they feel comfortable with. But over time, I think both the interest rates and the risk and the way that we assess opportunity costs, it will all converge on Bitcoin's year-on-year increase in purchasing power, because Bitcoin is going to set a new standard. It changed the time value of money. So if you work in real estate, what happens is that over time, the risk increases, especially as you gain more success, because success in real estate means you need to take on more debt, more leverage. And in Bitcoin, if you hold Bitcoin over time, the risk decreases because Bitcoin is absolutely scarce and it grows in purchasing power so fast that the debt that you take on, if you manage your debt correctly, in relation to the Bitcoin and their purchasing power, is getting smaller and smaller. So the loan to value ratio, when you buy Bitcoin on debt, is decreasing so fast that the risk also compresses. Whereas in real estate, the risk does not compress over time because the risk is tied to the underlying currency, which is fiat. And that's the unit of account that real estate developers and real estate entrepreneurs account their success in, because that currency over time loses purchasing power, risk increases. With Bitcoin, it's the opposite. Risk decreases over time. And I think that's important to understand. And that's a huge, huge benefit of Bitcoin, because you can use it as a treasury asset to kind of anchor your business in. And it doesn't matter what you do, because if you think about it, what Strategy is doing is actually something that real estate developers have been doing since 1971, which is you take on debt in an inflationary currency, you buy a hard asset, and over time you pay back the interest rates with depreciation of your asset and the income. And the income in real estate is cash flow. The income in Bitcoin is the increase in purchasing power. Since the 31st of March 2024, with the new FASB accounting rules, the increase in purchasing power of Bitcoin is counted as income. And that increase in purchasing power outperforms the cash flow you can generate with real estate. So if you take it to the logical next step, if you are a real estate entrepreneur, actually the next logical step is to do what MetaPlanet or what Strategy has been doing. If you are a developer that is in real estate because you like the build environment, you don't see yourself as a speculator, you see yourself as a builder, integrate Bitcoin into the real estate business. But I think real estate investing as we knew doesn't make sense anymore under Bitcoin standard.
Interesting. So I'm curious how you see it playing out in the next couple years in the short term, because obviously we're seeing it start to get devalued. But I saw an interesting stat here that home prices need to fall about 40% or incomes need to rise 60% just to return to the housing market 2019 levels. That's absolutely crazy just how inflated the housing market has become in six short years. Obviously, we know what happened with the massive amounts of money printing, but do you see that happening? Like, are we going to have worse than a 2008 housing crash?
It's a good question. I think about it a lot. I'm not worried because we've been selling assets and we've been also putting cash flow into Bitcoin. So we've been growing our strategy in order to be able to kind of withstand any pressures. But to be honest with you, I think there's a possibility that the housing market won't reach the levels it reached between 2019 and 2021 for at least the next 5 to 10 years, right? And why am I saying that? I'm saying that because there's a historical example, which is Japan. So in the 1980s, the interest rates in Japan were extremely low, and companies, individuals, and institutions funded most of the available capital into real estate. Then in the 90s, there was a crisis, and real estate has not, in most areas in Japan, reached the price levels it has reached 20 years ago. And the reason for that is though the demographic change as well. So if you think about it, the demand for real estate is actually artificial, because in the developed nations, due to various factors, one of the factors being it's very expensive now to have a family because inflation has caused the cost of living to go up. So young people are not able to support a family. And also we have automation and there's less demand for human labor. So in Japan, due to the Japanese being very rigid on their culture, they're very much opposed to immigration. So there was very little immigration in Japan, meaning less people, less demand for real estate, higher interest rates. So the housing bubble popped, it never picked back up. So if we look into the US, for example, I think something similar is happening now as well. The economy has understood that productivity is not tied to human labor. Productivity is tied to AI, automation, digital scarcity, or different factors that are playing in. So in the past, within the realm of the fiat system, real estate worked as this bedrock of the global financial system. With increasing real estate prices, people were able to increase the credit system as well, right? Because people lend, an institution lend against real estate. But now we reached a point where it's not a good form of collateral because its price is artificially pumped up. And culturally, we understand that human labor does not bring productivity. So what brings productivity? It's AI. And AI can't work with a physical store of value. There's just a mismatch. And Bitcoin fits into that mismatch and it fulfills that role. So asking and answering that question is that, yes, I believe that it will take at least a decade for real estate prices to be where they are between 2019 and 2021. But at the same time, Bitcoin is going to increase in purchasing power, right? So maybe in 5 to 10 years, if you account for your real estate portfolio in fiat currency, it will be worth the same amount of fiat currency. But at that point of time, the fiat currency will be worth less and Bitcoin will be worth more. So once you start accounting for real estate in Bitcoin, you see how fast it is losing its monetary premium. So I personally don't think about real estate as a financial asset at all. I think about it as a business, and the business is simple. You provide housing to the market, you receive cash flow in return. It's a simple business strategy. But the store of value function that sit or still sat in real estate until 2009 now sits in Bitcoin. So I don't really think that real estate will see the same returns that we saw over the past, let's say, 12 to 13 years.
Interesting. So as we've seen it, because so with this, is it basically all going to shift into Bitcoin? Because, you know, the fiat currency, the underlying fiat currency is still going to be devalued. And the interesting thing about real estate in the US is there is still a lot of tax benefits, like all the millionaires, billionaires, even though a lot of high net worth are starting to move into the Bitcoin space. A lot of them use real estate, you know, to avoid paying taxes, or at least, you know, those strategies to avoid paying taxes. Do you see that as like something that is changing as well?
By the way, I believe that is one of the reasons why real estate is still a good business model, because of the tax write-offs, the tax efficiency, and also the leverage that works in your favor. So as a business model, there's still relevance in real estate. But I think the speculation that has happened in real estate will move over into Bitcoin, because Bitcoin is the ultimate speculative market. So I think also the tax advantages that exist for real estate, I can very much imagine that they will also come into existence for Bitcoin. Because if you are a government that has at least the best interest for your people, you want them to hold an asset that is not negatively affected by you inflating the currency in order to keep the government going. And judging by the statements of the current administration in the US, I do believe that some of the tax advantages that currently exist around real estate will also be rolled out for Bitcoin. And if you really think about it, Bitcoin is money, and there's no reason to tax money, because if you tax money, you can't use it as a medium of exchange. So as Bitcoin is being adopted as a store of value and eventually as a medium of exchange, I think that freedom-oriented jurisdictions will ban or will lift all taxes on Bitcoin going forward. I can't say if the US will do it for sure. It depends on the next administration. But if the next administration is as Bitcoin friendly as the current one, I can see that within the next 6 years, there will be certain tax advantages existing around Bitcoin, similarly to those existing around real estate. And then it's going to get really interesting.
Yeah, so I mean that is a very interesting point. I mean, I think once that happens, that's all bets are off. The other interesting thing, you brought it up a little bit earlier about, you know, Bitcoin used as collateral, you know, not needing to sell your Bitcoin. It seems like a lot of people are starting to. What if I told you never had to sell your Bitcoin? Instead, you can borrow against it with Salt Lending. Why give up your hard-earned Bitcoin when you can unlock its value without letting it go? With Salt, you get secure Bitcoin collateralized loans with no credit checks, no prepayment fees, and best of all, no rehypothecation. Salt has had zero customer collateral losses since it launched. Salt was the first platform to offer Bitcoin collateralized loans starting way back in 2016. Today, they offer tailored options for both individuals and businesses. And now introducing Salt Shield, the no liquidation solution. No forced liquidations during the lifetime of your loan when you're enrolled with Salt Shield. This just launched at the Bitcoin conference in Las Vegas, and it is next level peace of mind. For Green Candle listeners only, head to saltlending.com/green-candle for this exclusive offer for your Bitcoin collateralized loan. You can get cash for your Bitcoin today. Salt Lending, secure, trusted, proven. You know, Bitcoin used as collateral, you know, not needing to sell your Bitcoin. It seems like a lot of people are starting to get loans against them. You know, a lot of products are starting to come against them. Obviously, in the, well, I mean, at least in the United States, that's one of the huge benefits of owning a house as well, is that the bank will essentially throw money at you for very cheap interest rates, just so, you know, you can borrow against it. Now, with that, right, do you see, you know, these products in Bitcoin? Obviously, they're pretty early in their infancy, but do you see that kind of getting to the point where maybe we're starting to get, you know, maybe as low as like a 3% interest rate on collateral of, or while using Bitcoin as collateral?
Yeah, I do think, I just yesterday, actually, I looked at the average interest rate on Bitcoin-based loans. And it was between 12 to 16%, depending on the jurisdiction. And I think that is tied to the fact that the people that lend money to institutions that give out Bitcoin-backed credits, there's little experience. Most of the companies that offer Bitcoin-backed lending are pretty new, so there's a high risk attached to it. But over time, if you think about it, if Bitcoin is held in a multi-sig, the risk is pretty low. I guess... The term risk-free rate is misleading because nothing is truly risk-free, but holding Bitcoin in self-custody definitely has the lowest risk component to it. And then if you hold it into a multi-signature custodial solution, the risk is also considerably low. So I think that interest rates on Bitcoin-backed loans, they will come down as competition increases and as the understanding of the risk associated with Bitcoin also gets bigger. And then I can see interest rates going down to 4, 5, or 6%, because there are some companies in Switzerland that are offering Bitcoin-based loans around 4.5% already today. Because in Switzerland, the knowledge within the banking system on Bitcoin is actually extremely good. I think it's one of the jurisdictions in the world that has understood that due to the oversight by the EU, that makes it very difficult to still store your wealth privately in Switzerland. A lot of Swiss companies have now become Bitcoin companies because they see the pseudonymity in Bitcoin as a way to preserve the privacy that they were able to give their customers that use Switzerland as a country to facilitate both trade but also store wealth. And interest rates there on Bitcoin-backed loans in Swiss francs are around 4.5 to 4.7% already today. And I think that will spread. And then we have interest rates on Bitcoin-backed loans converging with the existing interest rates. But I think interest rates over time have to move up because interest rates today are artificially set by central planners. But actually, interest rates should emerge in the free market, and it's the price of money. If money is abundant, interest rates go down. If money is scarce, interest rates go up. That is because the opportunity cost that goes up as well. Bitcoin is a good example. If I lend you my Bitcoin, I will demand an interest rate that compensates for the yearly purchasing power of Bitcoin, which is around 50% at the moment. Over time, that will go down to like 10, 15%, I assume. And then the interest rates on Bitcoin-backed credit should converge with the interest rates set by the central planner, the year-on-year increase of Bitcoin's purchasing power, and then somewhere in the middle, I think we have a convergence of interest rates, and over time, they will be set by the market and not by central banks.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be really interesting then to see because, I mean, hey, if you're offering like 4% now, I think more people will be flocking to that just as this development is starting to go forward. But, I mean, I guess with this loan to value, right, we still have a lot of volatility in Bitcoin. So the question I have with all of this is, do you think like we're still going to have those, you know, 40, 50, 60% drawdowns that would essentially throw a wrench in a lot of this right now? Or as this asset class gets bigger, you know, do you think the volatility is going to go down?
So I think volatility is coming down a bit, but it will remain an important component of Bitcoin and the network and its ability to build resilience. Because if you think about it, let's assume there would be less volatility in Bitcoin. People would not be penalized for taking on excessive leverage, for example. And the system, every couple of months, every couple of years, needs to wash out the weak hands. It needs to wash out the leverage in order for the network to build resilience and in order for the price to find a higher low. Because the way that Bitcoin works is, as the price moves up, people usually act and leverage themselves with high risk, right? You can see it at the moment, actually. The Bitcoin price has already washed out significant leverage in the past couple of weeks. And I think a lot of people were anticipating a run-up to like $400,000 or $500,000. And I personally don't see that. So we could very well have a drop of 40 to 60% next year. That wouldn't surprise me at all. So I've been following the Bitcoin price for over a decade, and it has done the same thing every single time. So the first time I've actively watched the Bitcoin price was in 2013. I was in university at the time. I was studying financial economics, and I wanted to dive into the world of Bitcoin, so to say. And it was the summer holiday. I was sitting in my parents' apartment, and I was watching the news. And Bitcoin at the time hit $1,000. And the reason was that people from China used Bitcoin to circumvent government control. There was a banking crisis in Cyprus, so a lot of Chinese and Russians that parked their money in Europe were using Bitcoin to get their money out. And then Bitcoin crashed down to, I think, $150 or something like that. And ever since, Bitcoin has been going through highs and through lows. And it's this movement of the price where it shoots up significantly, which leads to more people funneling money into the network, and then, and that's very important, the hash rate goes up because the security of Bitcoin is tied to the hash rate. The higher the hash rate, the more secure the network, the more people are willing to put their money into Bitcoin because a good form of money is a good store of value. So the hash rate of Bitcoin usually goes up in the bear market when conviction is high, because in the bear market, the people that stay, they have high conviction. And the network grows with people that have high conviction. people that just want to trade Bitcoin, they don't help the network. If you don't run a node, if you don't mine, if you don't have a high conviction, you don't actually help the network. And I think that resilience is built in the bear markets. So I personally, I expect the bear market, the way that I manage Bitcoin-backed loans is always to be able to withstand 80% drawdowns, because then you can just run the business without thinking about when to buy Bitcoin and how to hold it and things like that. So I think that brings in a certain mindset that you have to be able to withstand 80% drawdowns, but then you can just keep on buying, keep on going. You don't really have to think about it.
Okay, that's interesting. So, I definitely think that there's, you know, the bigger players are starting to come in, and the adoption is coming. But, with, I guess, this development, right? I mean, we're seeing governments, we're seeing companies starting to put Bitcoin on the balance sheet. It's just the asset's essentially changing. It's maturing over this last 12 months, to say the very least. How do you think it starts to ingrain with real estate? Do you think it's just going to keep stripping away, or is there something where, you know, there's going to be some sort of integration, maybe loans on top of using collateral with real estate, as a combination? Is there some way that Bitcoin combines with real estate, or is it just going to swallow up this market?
Now, I like that question, because I do think they'll merge, they converge.
This bull run, I think everybody should focus on getting their Bitcoin in self-custody and off exchanges. We all saw what happened last time with the huge blow-offs. We had Celsius, FTX, all of the big dogs blowing up. Well, this time, everybody's being smart and holding their Bitcoin in self-custody. This is why I'm going with the number one hardware wallet in the game. That's Trezor. You can go to trezor.io or the affiliate link below to get yours for 5% off using promo code GreenCandle5. Get your Bitcoin off exchanges in the easiest way possible. They are a trusted brand. They've been in the game the longest of any hardware wallets out there. So that's why I've partnered with them, making it the easiest for you to get your Bitcoin off exchanges and not have to worry about any counterparty risk. So do it today. Go to the affiliate link below. Use promo code GreenCandle5. Enough from me. Let's get back to the show.
I like that question, because I do think they'll merge, they converge. First of all, Bitcoin is a good store of value if you're on real estate, meaning you can use it to build maintenance reserves. That's very obvious. And then if you think about real estate, it's a capital structure where you have different people, the bank that lends the money, you have the developer, maybe you have an investor, you have an architect, and you have a tenant. So there is a capital structure, and Bitcoin can be integrated into the capital structure. And I think, for example, the products that are merging in the US right now, like, for example, Horizon, that allow you to refinance the illiquid equity and capital that sits in your property and then funnel that into Bitcoin, I think that's very interesting, like for homeowners. If you own large real estate portfolios, I think refinancing, because you talked about the tax advantages that exist around real estate and the 1031 exchange, in real estate, what you can do, you can sell a property and then you can take the profits and then you can reinvest them in a new property without paying taxes, right? You can also refinance the property without paying taxes to buy another property. You can refinance now the property to buy Bitcoin. So that's also a very obvious way to drain the illiquid capital that sits in real estate into Bitcoin. And then I think, generally speaking, the dual collateralization of Bitcoin and real estate is very, very, very important in order to build resilience in the global financial system, because Bitcoin is pristine collateral for lending and it's going to be used as such. And real estate is okay collateral for lending, because it's true, it's relatively scarce and it does have cash flow, but it's not good money. So the reason for these extreme boom and bust cycles that we experience, especially since, I'd say, the 80s, is because in the 80s, a lot of the pension funds, both in Europe, in North America, and in Asia, they started to go into real estate because the returns on real estate with leverage were higher than bonds. And that caused a lot of misallocation of capital, because real estate is a good, a consumer good with utility value, right? And now that it became money and that it became collateral means that the global financial system is built on sand. It's very, very shaky. So yes, Bitcoin can kind of replace real estate, but in order for it to do that, I think it needs to be combined with real estate and dual collateralized, meaning if you construct real estate or if you're a bank that finances real estate development, I personally, if I would be the bank, what I would do is, let's say a real estate developer needs $10 million to construct a property, I would give $11 million as a loan. So you can take the $10 million, 91% of the loan, you construct a property, you take the additional $1 million and you hold it in the same company that holds the real estate project. And while you do that, while you construct a property, which usually takes 3 to 5 years, Bitcoin will have gone through a halving cycle, meaning that the treasury has already grown significantly in value, meaning that the financial position that you are in, no matter what, if interest rates go down or go up, it doesn't matter because the Bitcoin, they go up over time, right? And then you also have a collateral base to lend against to then maintain your property. I personally actually think that it's not even worth doing real estate without including Bitcoin.
It also acts as an insurance. Let's assume you give money to a real estate developer and they default on the loan, you have a problem. But if you also finance Bitcoin and you hold the Bitcoin in a multi-custodial setup, you have access to the Bitcoin. So it's financing Bitcoin in line with the real estate development is also insurance for the financing bank.
Yeah. And so, I mean, how do you think that this changes not only just the lending process, but, you mentioned changing the taxes, all of these capital structures, and, you know, there's a lot of job industry going with real estate. I mean, it's essentially, is that just going to flip the entire, you know, real estate industry on the head where, you know, instead of fundamentally just being priced and, you know, constantly kind of trucking up, real estate is going to be going down, especially priced in Bitcoin. And thus, like, there's just going to be less demand, less movement. And, you know, there's not going to be as much development. And is there just going to be a change in that perspective?
I think so, because I can judge the industry by my own experience. And we have developed around 600 apartments since 2016. And we have another 370 apartments in development right now. So we have a considerable size. And at the moment, there's no point for us to employ new employees because we were thinking, how do we want to grow, right? How do we want to grow the business? Do we want to grow the business by employing new people? Or do we want to grow the business by integrating Bitcoin and then benefiting by Bitcoin being absolutely scarce? And we've decided we want to grow with Bitcoin because the risk of not employing new people with higher interest rates is very, very high. And there's no point to employ people because you can also use AI now. So a lot of the contracts in the past, we had employees just for rent contracts. And now we do it with ChatGPT. It's wild, right? So the effect on an AI on the real estate industry, I think, is quite big because think about asset management. So managing real estate takes time and employees. But now you can both. You can use AI and then you can use Bitcoin to store capital. So you don't need to grow the business by employing new people and you don't need to grow the business by developing and leveraging your business excessively. So I think to be successful in real estate now means to focus. And it's the same thing what Saylor is saying. You need to really be very, very focused, I think, in real estate to be successful. In the past, you had to be at the right time, right? You had to be able to work smart, but now you need to be extremely smart. You need to be extremely focused. And I believe that the whole industry that exists around real estate, including brokers, for example, I think it won't go away, but it will definitely become less important. And that also has to do with, look at all the treasury companies, right? A lot of the people that work in treasury companies worked in real estate before. I know numerous people. I know more than 20 people that worked in real estate and that are now in the Bitcoin space and they work in the Bitcoin treasury space because the speculation that they knew now develops on Bitcoin, but Bitcoin is absolutely scarce, meaning that the money that can be made in Bitcoin is more than the money that can be made in real estate. So naturally,
this bull run, I'm looking for ways to stack Bitcoin in my sleep, and mining has always caught my eye. I've partnered with the guys over at Simple Mining to help you do just that. I don't recommend anything that I don't use personally, so I've got a machine up and running with them right this second. And they've even opened the facility up so anyone can go and visit. They manage over 15,000 machines for 500 clients, handling all of the maintenance and repairs so you don't have to. And for the Green Candle listeners, they're giving an exclusive offer: all the repairs for the first year for free. So if you've been thinking about mining, head on over to simplemining.io/greencandle to get this exclusive offer and learn about the potential tax benefits that you can get from mining with Simple Mining. All right, enough from me. Let's get back to the show.
Absolutely scarce, meaning that the money that can be made in Bitcoin is more than the money that can be made in real estate. So naturally, over time, I think people will kind of move from real estate into Bitcoin. And we can already see it at the moment. I think brokers are moving into Bitcoin because at the moment there's very little sell of real estate. There's little money to be made in being a real estate broker. Then agents, of course, which is very, very similar. Sometimes you have differences between brokers and agents, but they are both usually making money when the interest rates are low, when there's a lot of selling and buying on the market. And in Bitcoin, you don't make money by buying and selling. You make money by holding, and you make money by issuing stocks. And if you own Bitcoin, you can hold on to it. And if you're a company, you can issue stocks constantly. And the money that's being made on the issuance of stocks against Bitcoin outperforms the money that is to be made by selling and buying real estate. So I think brokers and agents, those are the kind of like, that's the niche that's being hit the hardest. And then I think banks as well. So if you're a bank that finance real estate development, now maybe you finance Bitcoin miners, because Bitcoin mining is also similar to real estate, because mining and Bitcoin is a cash flow. It's a cash flow based business, and the cash flow that you can generate is much higher per square meter than with real estate. So if you go square meter by square meter, you have a residential unit and you have a mining site, you make more money with mining. So mining is more interesting than residential and commercial properties, because think about commercial properties, they're being hit the hardest. I recently looked at the year-on-year increase in the price of commercial property since 1971. And from 1971 till 2024, the increase in the money supply, M2, was around 6.7% year-on-year. And commercial real estate grew around 4.4%. So it kind of followed the trend line of the money supply. But what happened is that since 2024, the commercial real estate came down in price so much that now the average increase is not 4.4%, it's 4%. So in a year and a half, the average over 50 years went down 10%, because e-commerce, Bitcoin, automation, large language models, it's affecting the way that we shop, it's affecting the way that we consume. And commercial properties are being hit the hardest. And I have some friends that were in commercial real estate in the US, and they were developing shopping centers, and they were very, very big, and now they're on the brink of going bust. So I think commercial real estate is even more in danger than residential real estate.
Yeah. And so I think that's also like a combination of just, you know, obviously we saw that everybody shut down and, you know, the remote work, a lot of companies are going hybrid. Now they're actually pulling them back into the office. So do you think that there's not going to be any sort of, I guess, flip back towards that with commercial real estate, where, you know, people are going to be looking for office buildings or try to revert back to the way that things were?
I personally don't think so. So we ditched all the commercial units. What I think is interesting, if you have residential units, if you have commercial units in the first floor, supermarkets, doctors and stuff like that, that pulls in residents. So I think mixing commercial and residential real estate, that's very interesting. But commercial real estate in the classical sense, I think, is less important. And I don't think that we'll revert back to the office culture that we had in the past, because people can work from home. People don't need to commute as much anymore. That also means parking lots are not as interesting. So I think that parking lots will be also hit hard in the next 20 years. Shopping centers are being hit very hard. Office space is being hit very hard. Shared office space, you know, models like WeWork and you had other shared office companies, they don't work anymore. So the industry is changing significantly. And I think the aspect of speculation that has shaped the industry and it has been the driving force that is moving over to Bitcoin very rapidly, like very quickly. I think also if I ask you, would you buy a house or would you buy Bitcoin?
Yeah, I mean, I was just like throughout this entire conversation, I've been thinking about it because, you know, I'm sitting in a rental property right now that I own and I have one more here in Tampa where I live. But, you know, thinking about it, it's like, all right, maybe I use these home equity lines of credits or whatever to purchase something like an STRC, like a strike from MSTR. Cash flow, exactly what I'm kind of looking for with real estate, and just move it towards there, opposed to essentially, you know, just buying another rental property. Because I mean, one, like I have Airbnbs. Airbnbs have been down because travel's down. And two, like housing prices are like starting to level out and go down. I don't know if we're going to have a 2008 type of crash. You know, I think maybe it's going to be different for each area, but I mean, it's unique because we've seen real estate prices just go up like crazy in certain markets in the United States, especially in the southern half of the United States, like Austin, where I grew up, Nashville, like some of the places where it's a little bit more tax friendly, a little bit warmer. But now everybody's starting to have to go back into the office. And, you know, now they're like, all right, I can't go live in a cabin in the woods. I need to go live in the city. But then interest rates are higher. So there's just not a lot of transactions going. There's a lot of people just kind of sitting and waiting. And so it seems like, you know, the flight and the smart investors are sitting on the sidelines. And, you know, everything I see from the real estate market is we haven't seen, you know, this amount of this, less, this little demand since 2000, you know, since 2008. You know, all of these things are all before the crash. So this is why I think that, you know, we're essentially ripe for a crash because the affordability of houses is just terrible. But I just see them printing money and starting to lower interest rates. I mean, Trump talked about wanting to give people $1,000 to $2,000 stimmy checks again. Mm-hmm. So if we do that, I don't see how real estate won't go up again. But I also see it on the flip side. All right, like a $2,000 won't buy you a house. So I don't know. Like I that's why I think we're in a unique environment where I think we're kind of in an asset bubble, but real estate's that one asset that's not going to bubble up. Why would you ever hold generational wealth on a piece of paper? It doesn't make sense. You need a foolproof solution, and I've got it for you. You could get this as low as $25, and if you use promo code GreenCandle, you could get 10% off. Being around for 12 years, they've engineered the perfect and most easy to use solution. I've partnered with CryptoSteel to offer for you guys just that. It is the cheapest and most secure way to store your seed phrase. I don't know about you guys, but I don't have too many things where I think one ton is going to fall on this, but it could survive all of that and more. So go to CryptoSteel.com. You can use promo code GreenCandle. You can get 10% off your entire order if you go there today. So go ahead and protect your generational wealth and do it with CryptoSteel. All right, enough from me, back to the show. But real estate's that one asset that's not going to bubble up.
Yeah. It's difficult to say. I agree with you. So let's say they push interest rates back down to 3%, 2.5%. You'll definitely have more demand for real estate, more liquidity moving in. But then if you think about it from the lens of a Bitcoiner, you kind of like when you hold Bitcoin, even if real estate goes up in fiat terms, it's still going down in Bitcoin terms. And I think that mindset will penetrate the global consciousness, so to say. And the way that it is happening is through Bitcoin-based credit products, I think. Because people will start to see, okay, here are products that have a higher return than the average bond, government bonds and corporate bonds, or the average real estate deal. they'll buy these products, and then over time they'll understand, oh, you can also buy Bitcoin. So maybe people start buying Bitcoin, and then over the next 10 to 15 years, demand will really come down for real estate.
Yeah, so I think that the demand is already starting to come down already. So I don't know if it's that 10 to 15 years timeline. Do you think that there's any way that that gets accelerated?
War.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we're already starting to see that. So, mm-hmm. I mean, do you think that's going to be the catalyst?
I believe so, because here in Europe, we are feeling it more than I think you guys. So I see like all sorts of refugees from different countries. You know, actually 3 years ago I was in Berlin. I was at a train station. I kind of got a flashback. I was almost felt like the beginning of the Second World War when we went through inflation as well. I saw like, you know, grandmas walking with like, someone had like a chicken in her hand. She was coming out of a train, leaving the central station in Berlin with a chicken in her hand. And I think all her clothes. And I was like, wow, she literally arrived from a war zone and her house definitely doesn't exist anymore. And then I had conversations with a few, you know, people in their early 20s. And some of them told me, look, I put my money into Bitcoin and I just left and I was able to take my wealth with me. Others told me my real estate is gone. And that definitely had an effect on me. And I can see it having an effect on people like throughout my, my social circle, so to say. And there's, you know, same for the Middle East. I've talked with some people from the Middle East, some places there, your house definitely is gone by this point, right? So I think the cognitive ability to kind of appreciate Bitcoin has to do with increasing pain. And the pain, unfortunately, is being felt through inflation and destruction. And Bitcoin as a like digital store of value is not negatively affected by chaos. Actually, it benefits by chaos because it's made for chaos.
So yeah, going forward with this, to tie it back with real estate, then this kind of chaos unfolds, do you ever see like real estate being as traditional as it is, or do you think that, you know, people are going to, you know, are we going to move to this like own nothing and be happy, even with real estate crashing, because there's just so many better, you know, I mean, I don't know why you would buy a house at this point. Is that going to be the future where people just don't own homes and, you know, maybe the state has to buy them up or kind of move in that direction, even with the crash? Because why would you do that when you could just buy Bitcoin?
I think it's already happening. So I can tell you that in the large metropolitan areas, including New York, and take cities in Europe like Berlin and London, a sufficient amount of the rental space is being subsidized by the government. So I'm going to give you a statistic now on Hamburg, which is a city in northern Germany. Most of the new developments have a third subsidized by the government. So a third of the apartments are being subsidized by the government, and the government is doing it for two reasons. Number one, people can't afford rent anymore. And number two, they want to inflate housing because it's the collateral of the central banking system. So it's actually kind of a scheme. So I think it's going to increase over time. And I could very well imagine that going forward, between 20 to 50%, depending on the country, of the rental space will be subsidized by the government, both in construction and the rental money as well, which basically means that a lot of money will have go into circulation.
So then the governments and are trying to basically keep the Ponzi going.
In a way, I mean, it sounds kind of harsh, right? Usually when I talk with real estate entrepreneurs, they ask me, Leon, you talk like you hate real estate. I thought you're like a real estate developer. I am. So take this with a grain of salt. I grew up on construction sites. I still work in real estate development, but you have to think by first principles. And like getting into Bitcoin just opened up this world to me where I kind of understood why real estate has become such an important asset class. And it's basically what you said.
Yeah, the Ponzi is going to live on. So then all right. I don't know if you've answered the question fully. Are we going to get like worse than a 2008 crash, or is it just going to be a slow, gradual decline?
I think so. I'm very reluctant to really give, like, I don't really have a thesis going forward. It's very difficult. I'm always wrong, right? But I do believe we won't have a crisis like in 08, because the speculation that happened in housing in 08 is now moving over into Bitcoin. And if speculation is happening on Bitcoin, there's no negative effect on the housing market. So if you speculate on real estate, there's a negative effect because the cost of housing goes up and it has to come down at some point. If you speculate on Bitcoin, you can burn yourself, you can lose money, but there's no negative effect on the housing market. So Bitcoin is almost like an insurance against a crash in the housing market, because it absorbs the speculation over time, and that creates less risk in housing, meaning that the crash will be slow but a sure death over time.
Now, where do you think this Bitcoin market is going? I know we've talked a lot about real estate, but obviously you're a Bitcoiner and you've seen the light, and you know, you see the things crashing. Obviously, things are moving very fast in the Bitcoin space, so things can change. And who knows, by the time we put out this episode, it could be, you know, drastically different. But you know, where do you see this this cycle going? Do you think we still have the 4-year cycles? And yeah, where are we going from here?
Yeah, personally, I'm kind of like an observer when it comes to the markets. I don't try to plan too much. And it feels pretty much like every bull market felt to me. Price is kind of in line with the power law. I pay attention to the power law. And price is kind of in line with the power law. I expect a breakout towards the end of the year. And I expect a bear market following. I don't know when it's going to happen. But I think nothing changed, to be honest.
Oh, so you think this is, like, you're not subscribed to the theory that this cycle is different?
No.
No? Okay, interesting. So the question I have then is, because we've seen the volatility go down a little bit. So do you think like these are just going to be the diminishing returns, and that's going to be like the flight to safety, so to speak, is going to be more into Bitcoin?
I think so. I think we have less volatility as the market cap of Bitcoin is increasing. Volatility is going down, but I still believe that volatility will stay significant. I do believe a correction is important to build the resilience that the network needs. We need more hash rate. We need diamond hands. We don't need, you know, tourists. So I kind of actually, you know, I think we'll have a very severe bear market, and I think people will be shocked by how many Bitcoin treasury companies will trade at maybe 0.3 to 0.5 MNAV.
Wow. Okay. Why do you think that?
Look, they're trading below, some of them are trading below 1 MNAV now, and we are in a bull market. So imagine the bear market is sitting. Strategy was trading at $10 in the last bear market, right? So very few people in a bear market are actually able to see the trade that a company like Metaplanet or a company like Strategy is actually doing. So I think that the next bear market will shock everyone, and it will be so severe because everybody is expecting the 4-year cycle to stop. And Bitcoin is usually always penalizing like this type of thinking, because we as humans, we forget. Even inflation, why does inflation exist? I mean, the Chinese inflated their paper currency already hundreds of years ago. And the English did it, the Italians did it, the French did it, the Germans did it, but we are doing it again and again and again. And the same is with the 4-year cycle. Every cycle, people are like, oh, this cycle is different. And they always forget that it's going to be the same. And I have the thesis that nothing will change and nothing has changed, except volatility coming down a little bit, of course, due to the increasing market cap.
So then, all right, so outside of that, what do you think are some of the biggest risks here going forward with the emergence of Bitcoin and real estate, just in general? Because you think that the cycles, I mean, it's going to be the same, but, you know, we've had a lot of these regulatory hurdles kind of come off in the Bitcoin space, at least over in the United States. But, you know, globally, it seems like there's a lot of craziness going on, especially where you're at, you know, in the EU, the UK, the digital IDs, all of this craziness going on. What do you see as some of the potential hurdles as we develop here in this Bitcoinized world?
Yeah, so I think that by holding Bitcoin, you kind of ensure yourself against all the madness that the bureaucrats are at the moment facilitating, especially in the EU. I mean, it's wild. So I try actually not to pay too much attention, but within the business, I do, because I have to pay attention to regulation. And at the moment, it's very difficult to integrate Bitcoin into real estate financing due to regulation. So I hope what is going to happen in the EU, as the US is taking a bold stance, it's kind of telling the world what needs to be done. So even though the Europeans always like to criticize the US, at the end, they kind of follow the lead of the US. So at the moment, with Bitcoin being now collateral that can be used to lend against for a mortgage, I think that the regulation will kind of favor Bitcoin as a collateral that can then be integrated into real estate financing, because the biggest risk is regulation. Let's say the bureaucrats, for whatever reason, say, we don't want to allow Bitcoin to be integrated into real estate because it's such a volatile asset, it's too dangerous. That's the biggest risk for the real estate industry and for the housing market. Personally, I can always buy Bitcoin, I can leave the EU, but I think for the housing market, that's the biggest risk.
I gotcha. Well, Leon, you've been very generous with your time, and I appreciate you coming on the show. Why don't you tell people a little bit about where they can find you and find some of your work?
Yes. Brandon, thank you for having me on. Great conversation. I really enjoyed it. You can find me on my website, leonvancom.com, leonvancom.substack.com. That's my newsletter where I share also sheets on integrating Bitcoin into the real estate business. And I have a book coming up with Bitcoin Magazine next year, Digital Real Estate, which will be out in Q1 or latest Q2.
There we go. And I'll link all that in the show notes. And then, yeah, man, you'll have to come on shortly after the book comes out. I'm excited to read it. And thanks so much for all you do and opening my eyes to all of this, because I was always thinking, hey, you know what, real estate, it's always going up and to the right. But I appreciate this unique thesis. And I think it's starting to play out.
Thank you.
Thank you guys all for tuning in to another great episode of the State of Bitcoin podcast. If you found some value in this one, please hit that subscribe button and that like button to help send this one to the masses. And I've got a surprise for you guys. I've got two more episodes that you have the chance to watch here. So go ahead and click one of them, and I'll see you guys all at the next one.